Relations between the U.S. and Mexico have been especially strained since President Trump took office. Whether it's his immigration-related comments or tweets or NAFTA renegotiations, tension has increased. Governor Doug Ducey, especially on the economic front, has tried to improve how Arizona and Mexico can work together. But how much of an effect is the Trump administration having? Andrew Seeley, president of the Migration Policy Institute, is optimistic about many aspects of how the U.S. and Mexico relate to each other, and he writes about it in his new book, Vanishing Frontiers, The Forces Driving Mexico and the United States Together, and he's with me via Skype. Andrew, you wrote about how you don't see the border as an obstacle or a figurative wall. You see it as something much more positive.
Yeah, I think the border is less of a wall and more of a seam that ties two countries together. And there's more and more going on between us than ever before, even at a time where politicians are squabbling and talking about how bad the relationship is and how we should have a wall. The reality is that average people, state governments, local governments, business groups, citizen groups are doing things together all the time. And you see it in Arizona. Arizona is actually one of the states. There's been an Arizona-Mexico Commission for years. It's incredibly active, you know, bringing together the business community, civic groups, the state and local governments, together with counterparts on the Mexican side in Sonora and throughout Mexico. And the governor of Arizona, though he's of the same party as the president, has been very clear that he's interested in keeping a good relationship with Mexico, that it's a partnership that matters to Arizona, and that he has his own perspective on these things.
So how important in the big picture, and I don't mean economically, I mean even spiritually, culturally, is the relationship between the U.S. and Mexico?
You know, Mexico is embedded in our life in so many ways. I mean, clearly it's economic. Our economy, our industrial base is tied to Mexico's right now. I mean, we actually have joint production. When we talk about American manufacturing is tied to Mexican and Canadian manufacturing. You can't actually disaggregate it because we build things together. So economically, it matters a lot. But it's also, you know, 1 in 10 Americans is of Mexican descent, mostly recent heritage. So a lot of people are of German and Irish descent, but that tends to go, you know, far back. Mexican descent tends to be much closer, so that matters in the life of lots of people and the large percentage of Arizonans. But we also have ties, you know, in film, in entertainment, in sports, in food. You know, Mexican food is American food, literally. And I mean, it's American food because it's so common, because 2/3 of Americans regularly consume Mexican food, but also because actually when part of Mexico became the United States, including, you know, Arizona and New Mexico and parts of California and Texas, you know, there was a whole cuisine that came with it and really is American food. You know, part of what we consider Mexican food was developed in places like Arizona and New Mexico and Texas and Southern California and Southern Colorado. And it really is American food, right? And so these ties are cultural, they're economic, they're in the entertainment industry, they're in sports. They're in almost every part of our life, and it would be hard to go through a day without being deeply, deeply influenced by Mexico, even if we don't notice it.
How much of a role does immigration play in all of this? Does that emotion cause people to not think about these things in the logical, humanitarian way you seem to be stating it in your book?
Yes. I mean, I think it is. You know, the irony of the immigration debate is that undocumented Mexican immigration, unauthorized Mexican immigration, stopped about 10 or 12 years ago. I mean, there really just isn't. The number of people who are Mexican and unauthorized living in the United States has dropped by about 1 million people, according to the Pew Research Center, in the past 12 years. There just aren't many people coming, and there are more leaving. And so the issue of unauthorized immigration from Mexico, now we're getting it from Central America, from Asia now, but from Mexico really is not the issue it once was, and yet now it has become an issue at the forefront. But it is one of those things that makes it complicated, right? I mean, as long as there is an unauthorized Mexican population in the U.S., it is going to be one of the things that people will be concerned about. As long as there are economic disparities, as long as it is possible for a company to move to Mexico to get cheaper labor, that's going to be an issue. The reality is there's probably been more industries saved by integrating with Mexico in terms of joint production. But that doesn't help if you lost your job because a factory moved to Mexico, and there are examples of that happening. So there are some things that are very real. We can argue that and I do in the book, that the benefit overall is really good for us in the United States, that our coming together with Mexico has helped us economically, it's helped diversify our culture, it has, you know, strengthened us in so many ways. But that doesn't deny the fact that there are, for some people, really real tensions that they've dealt with in terms of the relationship with Mexico, and for Mexicans as well, dealing with us.
Well, where do you see the relationship going from here? Do you think that President Trump has damaged it in such a way it's harder to recover from? Do you see any reason to think that in the course of his administration, the relationship might actually improve?
I think it's going to be hard during this administration to get to a better political relationship. I think President Trump has very fixed ideas. In some ways, he admires Mexico. I mean, it's interesting. He talks about Mexico getting the best of us in the NAFTA negotiations. He talks about Mexico having better immigration laws, which I don't think is true, by the way, but he talks about that frequently. There's some ways he praises Mexico, but he clearly sees it as a foil, as Mexico is a foil for his criticism of things he doesn't like. Right, whether it's immigration, whether it's trade policy, whether it's globalization, whether it's drugs, you know, it always comes back to Mexico. I think that's going to be hard to get over during a Trump administration, whether that's 4 years or 8 years. But I think other forces are going to keep coming together and keep bringing us together during that period. And I think at some point, another administration, whether it's Republican or Democrat, I think we're going to see an attempt to knit this relationship back together again at a government level as well. And at a state level, as you see in Arizona, the state level, the relationship continues to be very good. I mean, it continues to be very good at a city level, a municipal level as well. So, you know, these things continue on even when the federal government's not engaged and there's tension between the two federal governments.
I'd like to bring up the DACA situation and the so-called Dreamers. Yeah. Where does this fit in the whole scope, do you think, of where the perception of Mexican life, Mexican culture is in America? Presumably, it doesn't get done because some of these politicians are afraid that their constituents are not going to like it.
Yeah, I mean, when we talk about, you know, the DACA recipients are from all over the world. I mean, they are American in everything but legal papers, but they were born all over the world. But 4/5 of them were born, 79% were born in Mexico. So when politicians start talking about DACA, it does come down again to that issue about Mexican immigration. And there are a number of politicians, more Republicans than Democrats, but some Democrats as well, that are afraid of their constituents on this issue. They're afraid that there's a base in their party. You know, maybe not a majority of their constituents. The polls tell us that 85% of Americans want a solution for the DACA recipients, for the Dreamers. But they're afraid of some part of their base in their political party that's going to go after them in a primary if they do anything on immigration, even if it's DACA. And so they stay away from it. And it's a sad testament to how politicized the immigration issue has become.
Andrew Seely is president of the Migration Policy Institute. We've been talking about his new book, Vanishing Frontiers, The Forces Driving Mexico and the United States Together. Andrew, thanks very much for the conversation.
Thanks so much. Great to be with you.